my phone is all recovered from the phone.
That was aggravating.
Yeah, there were words that were used in my house in bed.
Just recording, just.
Okay, roll call.
Leah Blau?
Excuse.
Leah Blau? Corey Frederick?
Here.
Greg Retzla?
Here.
Mike Skalitsky?
I didn't hear from him, so.
Jeff Wamble?
Here.
Sydney Robson?
Here.
Madeline LaCroy?
Send me a message, she's ill. Supervisor comments, anything? My only comment is welcome back, it's been just a little while for this committee.
We have.
Go ahead.
Last night, just curious if you don't want to hear the, last night, Rich Dodge said you heard that the mayor is shutting down his first step place. Okay. And he was upset because he was under the assumption that sex offenders, now this is him talking, and I don't think he'd care if I mentioned, so I think he's okay if you want that meeting. They're literally given a tent and a sleeping bag, and that's one place where they go sleep. Does this ring a bell to any of you guys?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, is that true?
Okay, here's what happened. There was a sex offender that was released. They had to legally release this person. According to law, he served his time. They tried to hold him back as much as possible. There was nowhere to place him. So my understanding was they gave him a sleeping bag and a tent and said, go sleep in the park across from First Step. And you can't do that. You know, in the city, you know, that's illegal all by itself. I think they realized that, so they told him to go to the probation and parole on 60th Street, and they made arrangements where he could set up camp in their parking lot. But if you guys heard this, okay. Well, my opinion's on that too. That's a problem. And that's the last I've heard, other than this particular person has been spending a lot of time, and this was a couple weeks ago, by the bus stop on 63rd and Sheridan. Just there's nowhere for him to go. So that's right. I don't know what Rick was saying, but.
Well, he didn't have all the information, but he's concerned about that even existed like that. So the comment why it was brought up that it should be at this committee too is, isn't this a prison issue? When an inmate is ready to be released, isn't there a procedure where you're going? Or not? No,
but not at their level, right? It would be at the state level.
Okay, yeah. So it's purely a state prison issue then?
Correct.
This guy wasn't released from our facility.
No, okay. I'm only speculating, because I only know a piece of it. I think he was released from a state institution, not a local jail.
Okay. So you don't have prisoners like that. They are corrected, state.
Typically, they're state. I'm not saying that we'll never have a sex offender that would be released from our jail, but typically, those guys that serve their terms are state inmates.
So where in the county, Kenosha County, would they go? Because from what I understand, if it has to be an offense that county where you commit the offense.
Right.
So you do your time, where do they go in Kenosha County? Does the judge make that decision?
I would say that the state DOC
the Department of Corrections.
But it is through the Department of Corrections. Right. But the problem is it's where they're allowed to go by state law or local.
We had that issue with Racine putting the guy out in Weaver.
And what I understood about that was this was a Milwaukee person. The judge put him in Racine, where he's supposed to be the county from which he was at. And you have to be 1,500 feet from kids. And is that?
Well, here's the problem.
And he wasn't. So there was two things they did wrong, that judge. Wrong county. I may be wrong. I hear you guys. Right. 15, neither, because there's a child that lived next door to this person. I guess that was what the whole hold was about. I guess. I don't know.
That he was not in the same county that he was an offender in. But But that has nothing to do with the county government, that would be at the state level, with big place or find housing, or release these individuals.
So, but you know, is Rick on the committee that the mayor assembled regarding First Step?
I don't know that.
Because I don't know that either, because we are, me and my partner through the police department, through the crime prevention unit, we're involved a little bit with this. But there is a task force or a committee that the mayor assembled, including some of our officers. And I wasn't sure if maybe he was a part of that or other politicians.
I haven't heard.
If not, he should, hopefully, maybe he is, I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, this committee may be hearing about this.
Anything else, or? Chairman comments, none, but thank you for changing it, because when I saw first chairwoman, I was gonna let you know I wasn't that.
Well, you'll be the one on the website, it's a standard, so I couldn't change it on the website.
I saw the last.
My file, I can change it, but that's some of the set fields on the website.
Approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Any discussion, use and governance? For approval of the minutes?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Committee? Okay. Mr. Reno, the show is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are here seeking permission endorsement for continuing a practice that we started last fall. It allows our supervisory staff to pick up hours in the event they are available. It has worked very, very well in the time that it has been used, and it has worked so well that we're seeking approval to run it for the entire year. It is covered by the budget, so I don't think we have to go to the full board, but it will go to finance. Justin Miller is with us. Captain Miller is the head of corrections and detentions, and he has some facts and figures with him. There are values of the practice.
So the memo went into effect on August 11th, and it was in effect until the 31st of the year. So 142 days. In those 142 days, there was 1,049 hours of overtime that was worked by detention supervision, which that equates to roughly 131 8-hour shifts of overtime, which in detention is really there. Usually, once we get to the ordering process, it's 4-hour, we do 4-hour blocks. So essentially, 262 4-hour blocks of overtime were taken up by supervisors doing the overtime, which was accounts for 262 COs or DSOs that would have been forced in, you know, against their will, if you will, you know, to stay over or to come in early, taking time away from their family. So basically, in that time period, it was basically about 2 hours or 2 COs a day that were saved from being forced in an overtime.
Go ahead.
I have 18, 18, 4, 6, 8, 9, 15 of my 18 supervisors work here. So I have 18 floor staff supervisors, core coaching sergeants. 15 of them have worked some form of overtime in that period.
Well, these supervisors will never be forced to work overtime, correct?
No, they're never.
Yeah. Always offered to the line staff.
Always?
Yeah, always offered to the line staff first. So the way that it works is it's posted at least 5 days in advance. The officers sign up for the overtime that they want, and then they fill it based on need, and anything that's left over at the time of filling the overtime is either ordered in, or it's now at this point, this memo was offered to the supervisor staff.
So what the priority would be, the supervisor staff then ordered in?
Yes. Right. So if the supervisors don't take anything, they were still gonna have orders.
Okay.
But
you're seeking to save the overtime.
Yeah. Comes the order. I mean, sure. If you broke it out, if this average, you know, was forecasted out throughout the whole year, it ends up being like 2,698 hours of overtime that would be saved not saved by, in terms of cost, but in terms of manpower not having to be ordered in addition to their normal workday, ends up being 674 and a half shifts of those 4-hour shifts that are, would be ordered in a year period.
Well, that's a morale issue.
It is a morale issue.
And then I noticed from your memo, the cost, the supervisor would be paid at the highest correctional officer salaries over time.
Yes, right.
So what, did you weigh that, what, from a cost aspect, did you figure that out? How much is it going to be extra? There's got to be somewhat more.
I mean, I didn't figure it out, but you're right. It would be more because your typical person who's getting ordered in that, but our, all of our staff members are eligible for orders. We don't have any threshold that you're saved from being ordered in.
Sure, sure.
So, but just by your averages, of course, it's going to cost a little more because they're getting top pay.
Right. I didn't know how that maybe you had most of your correctional officers were at top pay already, so therefore there wouldn't be much of a discrepancy.
No, that's what changed.
Yeah.
Not just mid-year last year.
Okay. We're not quite there yet.
I guess you don't see it, but it has been a problem where, I guess we ask the supervisors, is this kind of something they readily want to do, but are okay, or I mean, what's their attitudes? Do they want to do it, or
they wanted to continue.
I guess I'm just, my point is, you don't see them forcing others to like give that, putting pressure on them to not do the overtime. So that you don't,
unfortunately, we have so much overtime that it's like you said, it's a morale issue. I've walked around and talked to staffs. You know, just to get the feeling on the floor, like, what, how do you guys feel about this? Is it, you think it's being handled fairly? Do you think that it's okay? Do you like it? And the general majority, they want this because it's taking, you know, order-ins away from them. I mean, there's nothing worse than working 8 hours and then right before you're about to go home being told you have to stay for another 4 or another 8, you know. So it is a morale thing. And it's really nothing more. I mean, I'm gonna be able to
sell it. So the hiring is still...
Still going.
It's not
being. Like 20 right. Interviews starting tomorrow.
Two days of interviews. Yeah, and there's nine positions that can be hired out of those 12 interviews. I have 21 DSOs and SEALs that are in the academy. Like starting.
So we're making progress on it. You got to get them out.
Are you optimistic with this group?
With the 21 that are in the academy? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
We're always optimistic, right? You can't tell if someone's
But
there's some that have been there for 6 months that have been doing really well, and then there's some that we've just hired in the last few weeks that are just going to the academy. So it's hard to get a feel for those.
So you're caught up in the trend, too, I think, with just law enforcement in general. I know we are having a hard time getting applicants, and I talked to other officers around the area, and you know, through the sheriff's department, you might be feeling this. We're all having the same problem with getting quality applicants.
That's the thing, it's quality applicants. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we have people that we interview with 12 interviews. Are we going to get all 9? I mean, chances are pretty slim at that.
You're going to see a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff now when it comes to recruitment. And I've said several times we've got together recently, but the employment market here is pretty good. And so now we have big players competing for quality candidates. Jeff Justin is working with my staff, and there's going to be an open house for people who are interested in becoming corrections officers. We're in Durham and Vienna, and want to be Captain Miller, who's clearly, that's the start of the show. People who do the job, they see the environment, they get in there and look around, and we get to sell them. I just got a deal with Glassdoor, and we're going to expand our internet market. We've got evergreen applications that are going to go out, and then hopefully we work out an arrangement with the testing service, potentially, we talked a little bit, where we can just kind of keep it rolling, much like we've done. I think you guys have interviewed everyone.
That's the reason we have 21 people.
Yeah. And so we really need to get up to the full staff level. I don't remember the last year, full staff, and I know it's somewhat of an indictment of a personnel director, but if we get up there, I'd love to see how it works. Because I think the new way to put you guys past your weekend.
One, I remember when we talked about that, you mentioned they look great.
and they go on their own, it just sort of hits that, whatever that is, right?
Sure.
Do you think you thought, is that just something, no matter what it is?
Well, I've only been in my position since August, in the detention position, and new to detention, so I'm kind of getting the feel and understanding, but I think at the youth that's coming in, you know, it's, we talk about a lot of different philosophies and ways to make morale better. Like, you know, there's only so much paint you can put on walls to make it beautiful. It's the other things that you're going to need to change, the philosophies, the culture, things like that in our department. And that's going to take a little bit of time to do. It just doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately. But I think that we're on the right track. I think that people enjoy coming to work. You know, in the last 2 years, the culture has changed enough where it's not such a drag to get people to come in to work. Our biggest complaint is overtime. I mean, and until we're to full staff, and will we ever truly be at full staff because of attrition and all that? I doubt it. But the one true thing is overtime. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. So this is one of the little things that we can, you know, actually do to help the morale for those organizations.
Do you ever, I just, I'm curious, in this have you ever thought about
hiring next inmates?
I mean, is that something you would never think about, or is it, I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Did you talk about it?
Well, I mean, I understand, I guess it depends upon the offense and all that stuff, but
right.
I don't know.
We fire people with drunk driving arrests that may have spent a few nights in jail, but you know, I mean,
okay.
If you have someone that...
Well, one thing, do you ever recruit from up north or communities where the standard of living isn't as high as here, therefore this would look more attractive? Do you do stuff like that?
I was just curious.
When I talked about expanding the outreach using the internet site, that would likely accomplish that. Yeah. Whether we go to the Vilas County, you know, Kicking and Times or whatever they have up there, they got a zero too. And they're trying to get people to work
there.
Among my professional organization, particularly the counties, hiring for jails is really
important. I mean, we plan on being on Wiley Net this time. Whatever you guys use with the KPD, there's another website that we're given from you guys. I'm not really thinking about my own. I mean, this job kind of. They're going down. You know, I mean, we're housing at KCDC. You know, they get to see, we're going to do some, you know, like cell extractions to see what the job's about. Maybe do a tour if they want. Because of the new online application process, they can apply right there. IT's going to set up kiosks. We'll be able to apply right there. We're doing incentive programs for employees that, hey, if you get somebody in the door, you know, maybe gift cards or whatever. Bring a friend to work type of thing,
right.
Because if you work with your friends, you're probably more likely to stay.
This may be a strange question, but I heard this years ago. If an officer is working third shift, for example, and all the inmates are sleeping, are they allowed to read a book, study for a class, or not?
I mean, I don't know the, I would say no.
I've never been in there, so I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
There's so many
things. And that's the way it should be. I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, they do the mail on third shift, so they have to go through all the mail, they got the process. So they make sure the linen's ready for the morning, then they have to get breakfast ready. And there's a lot of that goes to it.
My comment comes from years ago, I mean, over 10 years ago, where someone's, they called it a pod. Watching a pod, you know, there's some downtime. Things have changed, obviously,
yeah.
So I'm just curious.
Two things. One is, so this Wiley that you're talking about, so what about, for instance, how he's here as a zip recruiter, all kinds of things. There's all kinds of different, recruitment tools. You don't need them all, right? That's
right.
Crazy. But we also don't want to just focus on only corrections too, right? Because the one probably I think we have in this nation, of course, there isn't enough incentive for some of these work, and I'm talking general population, to want to work, because it's too easy not to work, right? You incentivize not working, and until that changes, that's going to be challenges, especially for entry-level positions. I get all that. In the meantime, though, as our economy becomes more robust and more competitive, I think we're going to start seeing people come out. I just wanted to get a little bit, because that is an absolute vital tool, because who we're competing against is going to be using those tools too.
Right. But the days are long gone where we're just popping in the ocean and just get 300 people. Now we have so many options. The internet has opened up so many options for advertising that we are going to advertise a highway division of employees, a specific website which is out there for highway division employees. There is Wiley Net is for one.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter.
Some
of the big ones are out there.
That's enough,
Monster,
right? Yeah.
Monster.
Sure, Monster.
We're going to use Monster, Glassdoor, Indeed.
Yeah, I get them all.
There's probably four of them.
Yeah.
We also have a whole list of websites which we've identified as being specifically beneficial. UWM has a good social work program, so we run the UWM website. VocTech, Vocational Technical College in the state of Wisconsin, have one site to get recent graduates in the curricula that they study there. Private colleges in the state of Wisconsin and public colleges in the state of Wisconsin, we have their site. And so we use those. We use the Park side because we want to track the local.
Who has to manage it?
You set it up. Oh,
you know what I mean? We hold stuff, you got to keep it.
Found all that stuff.
Yeah.
This guy's good.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And so now we have, because they require at times separate applications. So I can go on the UWM website, I just can't send them our ad.
Right.
You have to fill out their stuff.
Right.
We have used interns when we needed that. Okay. One particular intern was okay. So the Glassdoor thing, Monster, and all of that. That is a lot more standard. It just comes out of this new system we have. We hit a button and it goes to these sites and they receive it and put it out. Some of the smaller ones, the Wiley Net, and the more specific ones, we would have to do those ourselves. And so it's
we want to be also up to date with what it means. You post something, it's filled, but the posting still sits up there. Because we all know what websites are. Oh, go to our website, and then nobody maintains it, or nobody,
right.
You know, we don't want to look like schmucks, that's all. So I think it's great that we're doing it.
Our sites are 2 weeks and they're coming out.
Okay.
We also have, with the system, an immediate response. You apply for a job in Kenosha County, you get an email back that says, thank you for your application. The deadline on this job is the 23rd of whatever month it is, you will hear from us then.
Great.
And so, I'm really excited about it. You can probably tell. I'm probably going to.
No, that's fine. It's important.
This really comes along at a perfect time. We're probably actually very late. But we finally got the right system. We finally got the right support from, people rolling this thing out. It's going to be great by
some. And then you mentioned morale. Okay. Over the years, or maybe it's the culture, whatever kind of combination there. It's starting to improve. Can you expound on the actions that you guys have taken within maybe the last 6 to 12 months to help get that culture morale up? Because it's a tough job. I mean, I don't envy you guys. I really don't, because I'm not sure.
I can tell you, when I was a sergeant in conveyance, I would walk through the jails, and it was just grungy and smelled like inmate laundry and things like that. Chief Deputy Levin was the captain for the last 18 months. In those 18 months, they basically a campus beautification, if you will, of both facilities to just make the environment just more friendly. I mean, it doesn't smell like dirty socks all the time. It just there's new paint. We just put new carpet in certain areas. The as simple as the staff asking for to not have jail inmate faucets in the control room, although we put regular faucets in. So now they don't feel like they're an inmate where you go to wash your hands and the water turns on before you even get your hands under it. Just little things like that, but also security. I mean, the chief was responsible for putting new cameras all in the pretrial facility. So the safety and security that officers feel that, if something happens, it's going to be captured now versus the grainy, outdated video system that we had before. KCDC is now going to it. This year is their year to get the cameras. Just little projects, new commissary vendor, with tablets going in out at KCDC. I mean, just these little things that seem to be, you know, minuscule, but it increases the morale because they see inmate management tools are increasing, like the tablet project. Commissary gets better, so the inmates are happier. And it really is, you know, we're not trying to punish them, they're just to house them. And if they're happy inmates, then they're gonna be better behaved, and so it's gonna be less stressful on the work.
Feedback you're getting, seals are feeling a little more appreciated, just due to the improvements in work.
Right, because a lot of the things that are going on have been the COs or the DSOs' ideas. So they get empowered when their ideas are used. So it makes them feel like they're a part of the team, makes them feel like, you know, like they have a sense of accomplishment, reason to come to work, because, you know, they give you something that they would like change, and we change it, and we show them that we do care.
And they're listening.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, their bad parts of their job are never going to change. They're always going to be the worst.
You always have to deal with it.
It is what it is, right? So if you do those other things that, you know, because those are infrequent, right? Interactions. Okay, great. So that was just kind of the, let's make it a nicer environment for our employees to be around and in, and also change the environment that the inmates are in.
Which will help the morale of the employees, because they're not going to be able to such crabby. I mean, it's always going to be there. There's always going to be those.
You're locked up. Right. It ain't fun. It's not supposed to be.
Okay, I didn't go through that. Go ahead.
I want to talk to you about something else, but I don't want to do it right now.
Okay, that's good.
Because it's kind of Christmas. So I am going to move there.
Because it's normal, oh, actually need approval from us.
Yeah.
Or is it just, okay.
Yes.
Because I know most memos are just regular small things. Okay, there's a motion on the floor, first and second.
Yes.
Okay. Supervisors?
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Approved 4-0.
Thank you.
Doing the Shadow Hill.
Sure.
And thank you for the new chief deputy for coming there personally.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just have the Cabaret license and license of Shadow Hill Ranch, also known as Country Thunder Music Festival. As you guys remember it, may have remembered last year, the new management company came in and they forgot to renew their liquor license, which caused us to go through the whole process of a new provisional license. And now we got to the point where they're back to the annual license. And attached to these things, you can see all the offenses, but those coincide with the event from last year, nothing unusual. It puts them on the basically the autopilot mode for getting the cabaret every year for the festival.
So we won't have to worry about this in July then?
Correct. Once they get this, all they have to do is send in their renewals and we're good to go. And you won't have approvals.
I was going to say questions first.
I noticed you had two lewd and lascivious. What's a lascivious?
That's anybody exposing themselves.
Yeah, no, I don't know
what that is.
Any nudity, that kind of thing falls under that.
Not being able to.
You have 9 fraud on recreational tracks.
Typically, that is when they show up on grounds and they don't have the proper wristbands or passes to be there. It falls under the same categories if you went to a hotel and didn't pay the hotel owner or room on offer and didn't have your speeding ticket.
It's like defrauding an innkeeper.
Basically the same.
Okay. And obstruction and resisting is obviously whatever. Gives you a hard time.
All normal stuff for Country Thunder.
12 of those.
I was a kid, something they wanted to do. So the weather this past year actually held down their totals. I think we were below 300 this year. Because most of the weather, if they're talking, they're going to be off the park.
Well, there is a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah. Hi. Supervisors?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Otherwise, Sam, do you need to sign this one? But I have a question. Go ahead.
you guys got future. Mike Skolinski and I are a pretty good. We have a high esteem for Sheriff David Clark. We do. And I don't know if you heard that he had four, he had the news, the Milwaukee Journal, four things that happened in the jail. That really, yes. I'm a few things familiar with. So he was, the people we listened to were all hot and bothered about this. And someone on a different news organization went out and supposedly asked other communities that this has happened. Our name was mentioned. Now, this is just someone that's not reliable, but have we ever had these things happen? The one death was dehydration. Another one was a pregnant woman supposedly died giving. I mean, I don't know if you know what happened.
Our inmate deaths have been based on suicide. I don't know that we've ever had any other type of inmate death, in my knowledge. But we've had suicides, yes.
No, I understand that. But so my question too is, we have professional medical people that are there. We right there.
Yes,
right? So wouldn't that be rare for something like this to happen?
It should be rare, yes. But I mean, I guess with dehydration, I don't know, from my medical background, signs and symptoms are different in every individual. So if someone's not coming forward with complaints of being dehydrated, or they're not seeing them, I don't know what the inmate population at Milwaukee County is. But if you're a general population inmate out at KCDC of 250 people, and you go about your business and you aren't drinking water or fluids at all, it probably going for it. Because if they're not going to sick call. After their first physical, their exposure to medical is on a need basis. So in my opinion, it would be at the negligence of the correctional officers or the staff that wasn't observing his food or drink intake. But that would be my opinion. So, I don't know that how it goes unnoticed. The pregnant female, I don't know the circumstances.
And I'm not saying you should. I'm just curious. Yeah. I mean, it was a big deal up there for a while.
Yeah, and jail deaths are always big. I mean, suicides. We have suicides, and they're a big deal. I mean, and that's one of our biggest things. Is trying to curtail. It's all about making these changes to safety and security. Unfortunately, we have the mental health security is at all time high. We've never seen it the way that we have it now. I mean, I just talked to our lady in charge of the nurses, Lisa Jervis, and she just informed me that we gave away 1,100 hours of mental health last year. So they did. Of free mental health because of the acute. People are just coming in unmedicated, on the streets they can afford medical care and not on medication. And psychology just continuously is something that is forever changing. I mean, it's a newer medicine, if you will, psychology, not bad.
I think we've just become more, cognizant of it.
Right.
For instance, it used to be somebody would have some mental health issues, you'd lock them up, right?
Right.
Think that was going to cure them, and in all reality, it never did. So there's maybe a heightened sense of, of recognition of it, but we haven't yet committed as a nation to try to resolve it.
And we see it in jail. We're a mental health holding facility is what we are. But we don't have the means to do that. You asked that question about discharge plan. That's a mental health social work aspect that isn't given in the jail. We're not social workers. We're in the business of making sure that they're safe and secure, and then when they're treated out, they go free. I think our medical staff does a pretty good job at making sure that they're, have enough medications to get by until they can see somebody on their own. But we just don't have the means to give them that aftercare that they would get if they're in a mental health institution.
But thanks for sharing that. I was just curious.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Supervisor Spinski, do you have a second?